Actually, So more
things like this show us how exciting science and technology can be,
and how innovative it can make people across the world, even in space.
Thank you very much, Dorian.
The first one is produced by the American Navy, and it shows what happens during a contact with the ISS. And the second one looks at an Iris contact from the perspective of astronaut Nicole Ayers, Kilo Juliet 5 Golf Whiskey India, on board the ISS. So over to you guys in Austria to start up the videos. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we will play these two videos that we already mentioned.
Hi, my name is Rudy, and my name is Chris. You must be pretty excited to talk directly with astronauts on the International Space Station today. While we're waiting for the space station to come over your portion of the sky, let's talk a little bit about how it's going to happen. Of course, Mission Control is in contact with astronauts all the time, using a big radio with lots of fancy equipment. However, we're going to be using something very different. We're going to use ham or amateur radio to talk directly to the International Space Station. When most people hear the word radio, they think of a music radio station, but it's so much more than that. Radio actually refers to the unseen energy that transmits all sorts of signals using electromagnetic waves. At first, people learned how to send signals like Morse code, and then they discovered you can send so much more, like data, computer signals, and even TV. Maybe you don't realize it, but you use radio every day. Maybe you watched the TV this morning, or you texted your friends, or maybe even you checked social media like Twitter or Instagram. Let's travel back to space for a minute. Since the beginning of the space age, humans have sent many spacecraft out into the universe. These range from the Hubble Space Telescope orbiting the Earth daily, and the Curiosity rover exploring Mars. We've even sent a long-distance messenger, the Voyager 1, who has traveled outside of our solar system. Whether it's capturing a great picture of a far-off galaxy or conducting experiments on space station, radio has to do with all of it. And today, you're going to be using ham radio. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is ham radio? Amateur or ham radio is a service and a hobby where operators can talk to people around their neighborhoods, their city, their country, and even around the world. Amateur radio operators require a radio license from the government. They're not that hard to get. I have one. My call sign is KM4LAO, and mine is KK1DJ. Our call signs are a way of identifying who we are to other operators. This lets everyone know that we have the proper license using the radio. As amateur radio operators, or hams as we are often called, we can talk with others about basically whatever we want, often science or some new radio gadget that we are interested in. Let's focus back to the space station and your contact today. Many of the astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the space station are licensed ham radio operators. That's why your operators today contact us. The people here and you are allowed to talk over to the radio. For our conversation today, only to the amateur radio station on the ground, either in this location or somewhere else around the world. We'll also need a radio in the space station.
Anyone at that? You can hear the calls coming. This is November Alpha 1 Sierra Sierra, the International Space Station, over.
On the space station, the radio transceiver is connected to an amateur radio antenna mounted on the outside. One of these antennas will be used today during our contact. For our side of the contact, we need a good-sized antenna, a signal amplifier, something to make our signal stronger, and a rotator for turning our antenna. We have to keep our antenna pointed right at the International Space Station. And remember, it's moving across the sky and fast. To aim the antenna properly, we need to track the path of the space station exactly. NASA uses complex systems to track the path of the space station and other orbiting objects. The satellite tracking program we are using works out a complicated set of mathematics to provide an orbital location of the space station moment by moment as it moves through space. This information is sent to the computer that controls the antenna rotator, which moves the antenna to follow the space station. Maybe some of you have seen or worked with robotics. That's pretty cool stuff. And just like you can program a robot where to go, what to do, and how to get there, you can also program a computer to tell an antenna how to track the space station across the sky. You know, it took a lot of planning to get this contact. Several weeks ago, the ARIS operations team had to figure out when the space station's orbit would pass over this location. Then they had to talk with the planners at NASA's Johnson Space Center. The crew's time is pretty full, so they were able to find a time that worked for the crew member's schedule. Once they found times that would work both in space and here on the ground, the host organized this contact. And in just a few minutes, you'll be hearing and talking to the astronauts. Well, it's almost time for your contact. It will be exciting, so good luck with it.
Much, and now we will come to the second video.
Anyone that this is until it's get over.
Hey everyone, I'm NASA astronaut Nicole Ayers. Welcome aboard the International Space Station. We're orbiting the Earth 16 times every single day. One of the most rewarding activities we get to do while on board is talk to schools and kids like you using the International Space Station's Amateur Radio System, or ISS Ham Radio. These contacts are planned by an organization called ARIS, a worldwide group of amateur radio experts and volunteers. ARIS is dedicated to introducing young people and students to science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. You can check them out on the web at ARIS.org. This is the equipment here in the Columbus Laboratory, which consists of the radio. We've got the transceiver here, we've got a control panel, and we've also got the microphone. Some hand passes also allow for a video connection in addition to the audio. We talk to each other by establishing a radio link between the ISS and your school as we fly over your location. We won't have a lot of time to talk because we'll be cruising over the ground station at 17,500 miles an hour. That's 25 times the speed of sound. So we'll actually only have about 9 or 10 minutes of good radio contact from the horizon to the horizon. This is how our radio contact works. So about 5 minutes before the scheduled start time, I'll float over here into Columbus. I'll configure the radio so that I'm on the correct channel, and I may set up the video unit as well. And then just before the contact time that ARIS predicts for us, I'll begin calling the school using the standard amateur radio call techniques. So as an example, if your school's call sign is K6DUE, I'll say Kilo 6, Delta Uniform Echo. This is November Alpha, 1 Sierra Sierra, come check. At your school, the radio operator will be listening for my call, but that person may also transmit and try to call me as well. You'll probably have a much more powerful transmitter on the ground than we have up here on board, so I'm likely to hear you guys before you hear me. Once we establish the connection and we can hear each other, we can start the best part, talking to you and answering your questions. I always loved flying and I always loved space, so this seems like death to me. And for anyone out there, just be really smart on what you love, be a good human, be a good teammate, and you can get anywhere in life. Over. After I've answered all the questions, we use the remaining time to say goodbye and end the connection. Thank you to you all. Those are wonderful, creative, and curious questions. That was a blast. Have a great day. After that, I'll spend a few minutes reconfiguring the radio back to voice repeater mode, so hands on the earth can use it to talk with one another. Then I'll go back to my day job, doing science on board the International Space Station. ARIS is a brilliant opportunity for us astronauts to talk to you students all around the world. It's really rewarding to hear the excitement in your voices when talking to somebody up here in space. And it's a true privilege for me to be able to inspire the new generation of scientists and engineers through amateur radio. So 73 from the International Space Station.
Thank you very much. And now we will proceed further.
Okay, Florian, thank you. And it was, I don't have video from you, but I have audio, so I was able to once more hear both of those videos, which are to me quite inspiring and very interesting. And Iris is particularly grateful to Nicole Ayers for taking her time and volunteering to make her video. So we will move on because we are about 10 minutes ahead of schedule, but that's no problem. And as you guys can see, I'm keeping an eye on where the ISS is using a tracking program, and you can see it there on my video, Mike. I know it's not being put into the auditorium. So today our contact is with astronaut Sophie Adenau. Now she's a French astronaut on board the ISS, and her amateur radio call sign is Kilo Juliet 5 Lima Tango November. Kilo Juliet 5 Lima Tango November. And she will be using the ISS amateur radio call sign NA1SS November Alpha 1 Sierra Sierra. The amateur radio ground station that will establish radio contact with the ISS today is IRIS ground station Victor Kilo 4 India Sierra Sierra, and that's located in Mackay, Queensland, Australia, and that's operated by Shane Victor Kilo 4 Kilo Hotel Zulu. Now, Shane, you're online with us already, and you've been working very hard to make sure everything is in chip shape. So before the contact begins, can you tell us a bit about the VK4 ISS amateur radio station and how you will handle today's contact with the ISS? Over to you, Shane.
Sure thing. Thank you, Seamus. And yes, it's a real pleasure to work with you guys today. And I'm hoping that we're going to have a very successful event and everyone will enjoy the experience. Okay, well, my name's Shane, amateur radio call sign VK4KHZ, and I'll be operating ARIS ground station VK4ISS, your ARIS ground station that will be in use for today. Now, I'm located in the city of Mackay in North Queensland, Australia, where it's currently approaching 11 p.m. in the evening. For the technical guys, our ARIS ground station comprises a Yaesu FT847 as our primary transceiver. We also have an additional FT847 as a secondary transceiver, driving an amplifier, which is fed into a WIMO X-quad antenna array with switchable polarization, and that particular antenna will track the ISS as it passes over my station. So what will happen is once the ISS arrives at our destination, I'll call the ISS as soon as it appears on the horizon. And once we establish a good, clear radio signal, I'll just simply say, please go ahead, Yota, with your first question. But please don't be alarmed if you don't hear or if we don't establish a radio connection on the first call. We'll continue to call until such time as we have established the contact. We are running a little bit ahead of time, so we've got a bit of time up our sleeve. But I think, as Seamus said earlier, we're better to have more time than not enough. I'm showing around 10 minutes before acquisition of signal, or in actual fact, 10 minutes and 37 seconds or thereabouts. We've still got a little bit of time to go. Okay, Seamus, I'll pass it back over to you, and it's all yours from here until you pass it back over to me.
Thank you very much, Shane. And, you know, the excitement, I hope, is building. It's certainly building here. And all I have to do is sit in the comfort of my shack and just keep an eye on things. I feel with this group, a youth group who are all young radio amateurs or potential radio amateurs, that in a way I'm preaching to the converted. But I'm certainly not young. Those of you that know me will know I'm anything but young. In fact, I tell people I am so old that I remember the beginning of space as it was known, because in 1957, I remember looking up at the sky with my father and seeing Sputnik. Now, in fact, it wasn't Sputnik. We thought it was Sputnik, but it was probably the third stage of the rocket that had launched Sputnik. But it was only 4 years after that radio amateurs launched their first satellite into space. And that satellite was the beginning of a whole series of satellites carrying amateur radio. That first satellite was called OSCAR, Orbital Satellite Carrying Amateur Radio. And OSCAR 1 just had a beacon. Now, of course, we have lots of OSCAR satellites up there, including the Qatari OSCAR 100, which is the geostationary satellite launched by the Qatari Amateur Radio Society. To me, amateur radio is a really great hobby. I started as a very, very young person, and it led for me to a very varied career in technology and a very, very satisfying career in technology. And it also led to me making lots of good friends throughout the world. Now, I've never met Shane in person, but I speak with him most Wednesday nights on an operations call. I have been fortunate, or maybe unfortunate enough, to meet the guys from Austria at various IARU proceedings. And it's great to be here today to assist them in this very important endeavor. So, Mike, how are you getting on there? Are you all very excited?
Are we excited?
Yeah. Good. And you're hearing me well, and you're hearing Shane well.
Yes, 5-9.
That's good. Excellent. So we have a few moments. The IRIS program to me is a very important program, and I had the great pleasure of meeting the first German female astronaut in person at the Ham Radio Show in Friedrichshafen this year. One thing just to about it is, as you guys know, satellites orbit the Earth, and there are basically three types of orbits. There's an equatorial orbit, and most of the satellites in that orbit are geostationary. That is, they have the same angular velocity as the Earth, and so they appear stationary. And they're the satellites that we use for satellite TV. The Qatari OSCAR 100 satellite is also geostationary because it's in a geostationary orbit. There are satellites that will be in inclined orbits, for example, the ISS and various other satellites. And the ISS is in an orbit, an inclined orbit of 51 degrees. That means it never really comes further north than 51 degrees. So because I'm here in Dublin, I'm at 53 degrees, it will never actually go overhead. Now, that's good because it actually, believe it or not, makes it easier to track, because I have to point the area, the antenna, continuously to the south. There's also polar orbits, and these are ones that go above the poles. And normally these are used by weather satellites, but the Fram 2 expedition, which Rabia was involved in, it was a polar orbit. And it was the first polar orbit by a manned satellite. So, excuse me, I'm getting messages. I'm getting a message from my colleague and mentor who says there is a student operating a mobile phone. So maybe it's me, but because my mobile phone is on. But please, everybody, turn off your mobile phones. Turn off your mobile phones. It seems to be causing some interference on the YouTube channel. So back to you, Mike.
Okay, just making sure that everybody has turned off the phone. Also, the mobile data function and everything. And yeah, we are approaching the contact. So we will hand it over to you to guide us through the process.
Okay, well, the next thing is we're about, at the moment, I'm seeing four and a half minutes, Shane, to acquisition. And
I agree with that, Seamus, 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
Yeah, perfect. And I think everything is good. And I see that the northern tip of Australia has acquisition at the moment. You're a little bit down on the northeast coast of Australia in Queensland. So it will take those 7 minutes to get to you. As I think, I don't know who mentioned it, it takes the ISS about 90 minutes to orbit the Earth, so there's a path every 90 minutes, and they see 16 sunrises and sunsets every day. That, I suppose, can be a bit disconcerting. Astronauts on the ISS use the UTC clock, so they tend to work UTC hours, and so they sleep. Not like you, Shane, because you're coming up to midnight, and I'm sure normally you would be off to your bed. But anyway, thank you so much for being around at this time. So 3 minutes to go, guys, and I have to keep talking about something. That's what it says on my script. Everything's still under control in background, Mike.
Everything is perfect on our side. Thank you. We are ready.
Good, good. So I think we have an expression in English about a watched kettle never boils, but this kettle will boil. I do know.
This is always the hardest part, Seamus, just sitting back and waiting.
Yeah.
We haven't got much longer to go before my antennas start to track into position.
Yeah.
About another 2 degrees, and the antennas will start to track into position. They will then lock the horizon, and we'll simply wait until such time as we get acquisition of signal, which we're expecting to have fairly promptly as soon as we hit the horizon.
What elevation are you at, Shannon?
I'm only 7 meters above sea level, so I'm very close to the ocean.
Okay. One minute 30 to go, guys.
Okay, antennas are now tracking into position.
Now, good.
One minute.
Okay, antennas are now locked into position. In about 54 seconds or 53 seconds, we should have acquisition of signal.
What do you? Almost 25 seconds.
You will let us know when we can start calling.
Yes, I'm just monitoring the clock at the moment and we're on a countdown timer. We've got about 13 seconds to go.
Mike? mic. Shane will call, and then he will pass to you.
Okay. Okay, everyone in their positions, please. I'm going to start calling now. Calling NA1SS, NA1SS, NA1SS. This is Victor Kilo 4, India, Sierra, Sierra, VK4ISS, calling for scheduled ARIS contact. Can you receive? Over.
Hello, Victor Kilo
4, NA1SS, NA1SS, NA1SS. This is Victor Kilo 4, India, Sierra, Sierra, VK4ISS, calling for scheduled contact. Can you receive? Over. NA1SS, NA1SS, NA1SS. This is Victor Kilo 4, India, Sierra, Sierra, VK4ISS, calling for scheduled contact. Can you receive, Sophie? Over.
Sierra, Sierra, this is November Alpha 1, Sierra, Sierra. I hear you loud and clear. Over.
Okay, thank you, Sophie. Good morning to you. Sophie, we have the students from YOTA standing by for you. Are you ready for their questions? Over.
Hello, Austria. Hello, this summer camp, and hello, everyone organizing this contact. I'm very happy to talk to you today. I am ready. Over.
Go ahead.
Anyone SS, this is Oscar Echo 2 Yankee Oscar Tango Alpha. Sophie, here is your first question.
This is Violetta. How will the ISS contribute to future space exploration? Over.
Hello, ISS contributes to future space exploration because in here we learn to live and work in space. And, you know, if we want to go fast, like for longer times and to further destinations, then we need to learn the basics on small range and smaller orbits. So we're just learning everything here and then we're building the future like this. It's like incremental. Over.
This is Wahid. Is there a daily maintenance on board the ISS? Over.
Yes, there is daily maintenance. To speak to. The only reason is that, you know, the ISS is both a home for us, but also a giant laboratory. So in a home, you would do maintenance. Like sometimes you repair the roof, sometimes you repair, you do some plumbing, sometimes you do some electricity. And here it's the same as our home, so we need to do some maintenance. We also do some maintenance for this scientific experiments and laboratory. And so, yeah, there is some daily maintenance. Over.
This is Milan. Will there be future expansions of the ISS? Over.
I don't know exactly what the future holds for the ISS. I know people want to extend it beyond the end of life, and so I would be very happy for this to be extended. But I don't know all the answers to this. I guess it will all need to be thoroughly thought by ground teams and engineering teams to know how we can build the future of the ISS. Over.
This is Alexandra. What it is like to do amateur radio from the ISS? Over.
Hi, I really love doing amateur radio from the ISS. Just talking to people on a different style of loops of communication means. Usually we only talk to ground teams and scientists and ground engineers, but it's very nice to speak to people from all over the world from the ISS. It's really a connection with Earth and with humans from many different countries that I love. Over.
This is all Arthur's. What's your favorite thing to do on the ISS? Over.
Hi, it's very difficult to pick just one thing to do that I love and my favorite thing because I love so many things on the ISS. First, I love turning around the planet in 90 minutes and seeing all those different landscapes. I also love eating in space, which is kind of different, and the food doesn't fall from the spoon. I love moving in three dimensions and floating around. This is super funny, and doing some somersaults. I love preparing for challenging tasks like extravehicular activities. So I love so many things in here. I cannot pick one favorite. Over.
I am questioning, can you access the internet in your free time? Over.
Yeah, thank you very much. And bonjour. Yes, we can access the internet in our free time, only when the connection with the satellites work well. So most of the time they work well, but sometimes we have some disconnections, and then we wait the next reconnection, and then we can access the internet. Over.
This is Maria. Do you ever get scared of the distance between you and Earth? Over.
Hi, Maria. Actually, I do not get scared about this. We are not that far. We are only 400 kilometers above Earth, so it's a very close distance. And so it doesn't scare me. I think I love my job so much that, I'm not scared to be up here. And we feel very connected to Earth, like emotionally, because we see it right there and it's so beautiful over.
This is Sophia. How do the astronauts communicate with each other on the ISS via intercom? Over.
Hi. Yeah, that's a very good question. So usually we try to go to talk to people directly because the ISS is not that huge and we can just float over in a split second and just be with them and communicate directly. But sometimes people at the other end of the station, we need to talk to them and then we use the intercom. That's correct. Over.
This is Maria. How do you do the laundry in space? Over.
Hi, Maria. I think this is a very good thing that should be improved in the future because in here we do not do the laundry in space. Unless we have a tiny spot to clean on one thing, then we just use new clothes. We don't do laundry. I think that in the future of space exploration, we should create some devices to do the laundry in space. Over.
This is Senya. Does everybody have a radio license on board the ISS? Over.
Actually, not everybody is licensed, only those who volunteer. Over.
Hi, this is Franco. Is there any backup power supply on the ISS or is it only working on solar power? Over.
Hi, actually, we do have batteries which are charged by solar power, but those batteries, they work first as backup because we have a lot of them, and also during night passes when the sun is not shining on the solar panels. Over.
This is Donald. When you communicate with a ground station, your signal will suffer from Doppler shift. Who does care of the frequency correction? Over.
Hi, the station November Alpha 1 SS in here does not do frequency correction. It's up to the ground station supporting the ham radio contact to do this. Over.
Hi up there, this is Mago. When you travel so fast above the ISS, time should pass slower for you than on Earth. Can you measure it? Over.
That's very interesting. So actually we cannot feel this and we cannot measure it. But what I can tell you is that it feels like time flies in here. We are very busy and our schedules are very busy. So at the end of the day, we always have the impression that the day went too fast. Over.
This is Tom. Do you encounter interference from other electrical devices with your radio on board? Over.
Yeah, actually, there are sometimes interferences on ham radio. We can hear sometimes some other countries and other people speaking during our ham events. And not today, that's interesting, but sometimes it happens. And also on the VHF frequency, it's actually very interesting because there's no blocking contact between the ISS and Earth. So, yeah, there is sometimes interferences. Over.
Mati here. Why are you losing radio contact when you are entering atmosphere? Over.
Well, that's a very tricky question for a physicist. But to summarize it and make it very simple, during the re-entry into the atmosphere, there is a plasma creating around us and a lot of ionization. This ionization creates a special environment and in this environment, it's not possible for the electromagnetic wave to be transmitted usually. It's basically as if the whole signal around the capsule during re-entry was jammed. Over.
This is Martina. Do you have a smartphone on board? Over.
Actually, that's very new since our mission. Now we do have smartphones on board, but they are not ours. So they are basically some devices that stay up here, and we pass from crew member to crew member. So when you are a natural, as you come to space, you don't have your own smartphone with your own personal pictures and your own contact directory and everything. You just have a blank smartphone here, but and you cannot have all of the apps that you want, but because there are some filters, but at least it's a smartphone that you can take some pictures and access the internet, and the network is here over.
30 seconds before loss of signal.
This issue, can you detect collision of radio frequency spectrum from ABBA?
Over. Yeah, sometimes there is some pollution of radio frequency spectrum from here. There's no blockage, and so we do hear some interferences sometimes. Over.
This is my.
Okay, everyone, I think it's time to say goodbye.
Thank you, everybody. Please, big round of applause.
I hope you enjoy
Australia
from where you are, and I hope you learn a ton from where you are.
And thank you very much. You made my day. Talking to you is very important. MA1SS, this is Victor Kilo for India Sierra Sierra. Thank you very much, Sophie. The use of really enjoyed the questions. 73s and best wishes. VK4ISS now closing.
Thank you.
So thank you, everybody, who made this possible from our side, from Austria, from Bagram. We are very, very pleased that we could do this Aris contact with our 100 years anniversary of our society. We are very pleased to be here after 10 years where we first hosted this Youngsters on the Air camp here in Vaga in Salzburg. And we are very, very happy that we could continue with such positive feedback from all of you guys for the next few couple of days that we're going to enjoy here all together. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Well, I am sure everybody enjoyed that. It never fails to excite me. We had a very nice signal, and some of our answers were really, really interesting. And we got through 17 of our 20 questions, which is very good. So we had a moment of history because it's always an experiment. And we had amateur radio ground station Victor Kilo 4 India Sierra Sierra in Mackay, Queensland, Australia, and operated by our good friend and colleague Shane, Victor Kilo 4 Kilo Hotel Zulu. And they spoke with ESA astronaut Sophie Adenauer, Kilo Juliet 5 Lima, Tango November above the International Space Station. And she was speaking with the students of IOTA 26 in Bagrain, Austria. And now for the international volunteer team of ARIS, including the amateur radio satellite corporations around the world, the American Radio Relay League, the Canadian Space Agency, the European Space Agency, ESA, the Japanese Space Agency, JAXA, Roscosmos, the Russian Space Agency, and NASA. This is your ARIS moderator, Seamus Equindier, Bravo Papa, sending my salutations to all you in amateur radio terms. That is 73's best wishes. And perhaps we will do this again someday. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so thank you very much, Seamus, for guiding us to this contact. We are very happy that we managed, and it has been a great experience, really, that I have to say. Even though it's the second time for me, and probably from some of the others here in the room, it's always amazing. Thank you very much, Seamus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I say auf Wiedersehen now.
Goodbye, auf Wiedersehen.
Bye.
Goodbye, everyone. Yeah, good night, John Lozzie.
Bye. Good night.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, thanks, Seamus.
Okay, thank you everybody for your time, for your attention. I hope you enjoyed. We would need a few of you guys to operate the station, and we would need a few guys for some more interviews, preferable in
German language.
So please operate the station.